This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Former Patriots defensive lineman Chris Long. You know, for a year.
Top two pick, right, in the draft? Was it the second pick in the draft?
Very high pick for the Rams back in the day. Maybe when they were still in St. Louis.
I think he was, second pick in 2008.
Son of Howie Long.
He had a good career.
Won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Very good career.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a podcast now, as most former athletes do.
Who doesn't? Who amongst us doesn't have a podcast?
That's a fair point. Yep. The Greenlight Podcast, I believe it is.
All right.
So he was asked there by someone else, nameless, faceless, on his podcast, about arm length, and is that something you would factor in? He's like, oh, yeah. It's something that, as a defensive lineman, I would prep for, I would be ready for, I would play guys differently.
Really, because, it's just I have access to their chest.
See, now that is... That is Chris Long discussing what he would do as a player to Will Campbell. He's just going to town on his chest is what he's going
to
do.
Not to interject here, but you know what my favorite part about being married is?
What's really, that? It's just I have access to their chest.
You know what Bill's favorite part about the relationship with Jordan is?
Really, it's just I have access to their chest.
I mean, that's nice.
Come
that's
on, let's clean it up a little bit. But in all seriousness, because we've heard a few linemen say, offensive linemen say, not that big a deal, right? Like David Andrews, he's like, not really not that big a deal. Like, you know, how good is a player? And others have said that. Where you have a DN who specifically is going to be lining up in front of or out to the side of Will Campbell and being like, yeah, it matters. So it still remains like the one of the biggest questions going into this season, right? Like what is it gonna look like at left tackle against NFL pass rushers week in and week out?
Yeah, and again, you hear over and over and over again. Well, he had no problems with it at LSU in the SEC, which was the highest level of college football. That last part's true, although we've seen plenty of SEC players come in and fail. In fact, the Patriots drafted a short arm tackle from the SEC, Georgia, Isaiah Wynn, who came in and failed as a left tackle. So, like, we've seen it before. But the idea that he didn't struggle at all isn't true. He didn't give up a lot of sacks. True. But he gave up 18 pressures last year and had 9 penalties.
Right.
Because...
Right. Yeah, not a perfect prospect. This isn't Orlando Pace coming out of college.
And these aren't pre-snap penalties. These are holds. And so he's getting beat. And that did show itself on his tape. Now, maybe he'll be a great next-level left tackle. But I thought it was interesting to hear from a D lineman. You're right, Keith. Yeah. We've heard from offensive line coaches and all the offensive line. Doesn't matter. Not a big deal.
Well, it's right because, like, draft analysts.
But it's interesting to hear from a D lineman, a guy who had a lot of career sacks and was successful at this, saying, oh, yeah, I paid attention to it. I knew about it. I knew how to take advantage of it.
Yeah, so I still come down as, like, you can't ignore it, but it also doesn't mean without a doubt he won't be able to do it, right? Like, I find myself like, you have to take in these numbers, and if we're going back and, you know, since they've been measuring wingspan and arm length and all this stuff, and if nobody else has been a left tackle, certainly a successful left tackle in the league, you have to say, all right, well, maybe this guy's different. Maybe this guy has everything else that he's going to be able to do it where that won't be a problem. But you can't just be like, nah, it doesn't matter and it's never mattered. Like, well, clearly there's a history to it. And now you got a guy like Chris Long saying straight up, yeah, it matters.
No, and again, like, there's plenty of people on the other side saying it doesn't matter and ignoring it. This is an example of somebody who played across from these long-armed and or short-armed offensive linemen, and he thinks it does. 617-779-7937. You could jump in on this. We got Would You Rather's 11:30. Pure Hoops with Terp at high noon.
All right.
And more thoughts on the Patriots and their offseason. Mike Vrabel. Cutting leaders left and right. Mm-hmm. But I want to go to Brian in South Kingstown on our Giannis discussion. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, hi. Big Celtics fan here. But to say Giannis is a loser is, you can't say that. No person has ever won a title with less than what Giannis has.
Not true.
He's, who do you think?
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay. all right, I guess I can't really speak to that. But
I got a second one.
Like today.
You want a second one? Kawhi Leonard.
Sure.
Kawhi Leonard.
Who?
Kawhi Leonard
in Toronto.
Kawhi Leonard in Toronto?
Yes.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
I mean, who was Giannis's best player that he's played with?
Chris Middleton.
Dame Lillard or Drew Holiday?
Chris Middleton.
Middleton.
Damian Lillard. Yeah, Damian
no
Lillard. Damian Lillard,
no
Hall of Famer. Drew Holiday, Hall of Famer.
Sorry,
Chris Middleton, All-Star.
On the team that won, it was Middleton.
It was Middleton and Holiday on the team that won. They were both All-Stars.
Okay. All right. I mean, yeah, they were the best players. But, I mean, they haven't gotten him help in years. Bringing in Dame Lillard, who's at the latter end of his career, he is.
Okay.
He really is.
Do you remember who they beat? Brian brought this up. Not Brian in South Kingstown. Brian, running Twitch today, brought this up before the show. Do you remember who they beat on their championship run?
I remember who they beat in the finals.
So they beat the Suns.
Who had only the bigger loser in the series and Chris Paul. That guy's an ultimate loser. How many teams has he been on that were like the higher seed that just choked it away?
I'm a Devin Booker guy. I love Devin Booker. But like, right, one of those two losers had to win. Oh, by the way, Chris Paul, big time loser. Wow,
one of the biggest without a ring.
While we're thinking up our tiers, potentially
Giannis,
for next week,
loser with a ring. Paul, loser without a ring.
Right, A-Rod was a loser.
Yeah, just two tiers.
A-Rod is a loser who happened to win.
Yeah, yeah.
I think a lot of you feel the same way about Peyton Manning. Although Peyton Manning finished with a winning record head to head against Bill and Tom,
yeah, he did,
and he has two rings. I think Peyton Manning's. I don't know if he's.
I like Kevin Durant to me is
great
like
one.
That. Kevin
Terrific.
Durant won too, but
Terrific
with the team
one.
That, that won before him and after him.
You brought up Favre and Rodgers. They're both kind of losers that won.
Yeah, yeah.
And so here's who they beat. I don't remember who they beat in round one, but Brian was going over some of this. They beat the Nets in round two that year. My Brooklyn Nets that season. That was James Harden with one fat injured hamstring and no Kyrie.
Wow.
And if you remember that series.
1-7.
Kevin Durant, or I'm sorry, was that round two or round three?
Two. They played the Hawks. In the Eastern Conference Finals that year.
Trae Young.
And they swept the Heat in the first round.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they played the Heat in the first round.
Trae Young.
Yeah.
Loser.
Trae Young missed two games.
In that series?
In that series.
Okay.
Do you know who the leading scorer?
So, like,
so Trae Young was the leading scorer, but he missed two games.
Yeah.
Do you know who the second leading scorer was in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Milwaukee Bucks on their way to the finals?
I'm going to know it when you, I can picture him, but what's the name?
It's Bogdan Bogdanovic.
It was a Bogdanovic. Thank
you. It was a flying Bogdanovic, brother.
Yes.
And then John Collins and Gallinari,
the
next guys.
If we're going to do this about the Celtics last year, and I think it's totally fair to do about the Celtics last year. The Celtics had an easy path a year ago. I don't think they're going to have it this year. The Celtics had injured players and guys who weren't out there. You can say the exact same thing. Exact same thing about the Bucks when Giannis won. Giannis went through an injured Nets team and largely another loser on the other side in Durant. He went through an injured Hawks team.
And Harden.
With an injured, right.
Good the call. League is just ripe with these guys.
An injured Hawks team.
Not Harden. I'm sorry. It was Durant
and Kyrie.
And Kyrie was hurt. Oh,
but
Harden also
was Harden
hurt.
Was limping around on one hamstring
right,
in that series.
Yeah, the big three there.
Looks like Blake Griffin was the third leading scorer for
that. Okay. So, like,
I like Blake Griffin,
let's
but,
just
I mean,
be
was,
fair. Yeah. Like, Giannis has a title, but that was a really easy path, and he's a loser. Giannis is a loser who won. Expect to hear that tier next Tuesday. 617-779-7937. I thought Mike Reese had a good tweet about all the leadership out the door for the Patriots after they cut Joe Cardona yesterday, which I don't think is shocking. In fact, we mentioned it earlier in the week. We were talking about it on Monday.
Well, the second they drafted a long snapper, you're like, all right, Cardona's either going to retire or they're going to cut him.
Well, but what you heard is, well, they want competition everywhere. It's a late round, seventh round pick. It was a priority undrafted free agent. Like, that's some of the defense you heard for anybody who said, well, they might be about to cut Joe Cardona.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that's what you heard. But a couple of days later, they just outright release him. Just like they outright released David Andrews. Both of these, I think, are weird.
Yeah.
But Reese tweeted out, with the releases of Joe Cardona and David Andrews, along with our guy, Keith, Dietrich Wise, and Jonathan Jones departing as free agents, the four longest tenured Patriots are no longer with the team. The new longest tenured Patriots are safety Kyle Duggar, outside linebacker Anfernee Jennings, offensive guard Mike Unwenu, all from the 2020 draft.
COVID draft.
Those are the
they
longest.
Have nobody pre-COVID.
They are
on the team.
No one pre-pandemic.
That's right.
On this roster. Good point.
So last year, to start the year, the Patriots had six captains.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Yeah.
David Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Jawan Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
Gone. Jacoby Brissett?
Oh, yeah, Bentley's another good one. Brissett should sneaky bad leader.
Terrible guy. Joe Cardona, gone. Dietrich Wise, gone. And Jabril Peppers would be the only one still here.
Why is he still here?
I don't know. Maybe they felt like he should have.
That might have been the one I moved on from.
Because they signed him last year.
That might have been the one I moved on from first.
He is off the commissioner's exempt list. He's able to come back and play. But yeah, so they had six captains. Last year, they were either suspended, they were hurt, they got benched. It was kind of a mess anyway. And now you've just removed five out of six of them from the team anyway.
So, look, I have no problem with them.
This happens, though. I mean, you have a new coaching staff. Plus, you're also taking over a team that won four games in back-to-back years.
Listen, I have no
overall,
problem.
Overall, this is good.
Oh, well, yeah. I have no problem cutting Joe Cardona. I don't care. David Andrews, I thought was weird. They released him. If he plays again.
I don't think he is.
So I don't think so either. But I'm just saying that one I felt I felt like he deserved.
Let him retire, maybe?
Yeah, I thought he deserved a little more, to be honest.
I get it.
All these other guys, I don't care. I don't care that Jonathan Jones isn't back. Dietrich Wise, we talk to him every week. Don't care. Don't care about Cardona. I don't care about any of those.
Last year at this time,
another one. Don't care. Andrews, I felt a little different about.
Yeah. Last year, we were rolling our eyes at Elliott Wolf just re-signing all their guys.
Yeah.
So if the two options are re-sign all your guys or cut a million guys, I'll cut a million guys. Like, bring in new players. You had a big offseason in free agency. You drafted a million guys last week. So, yeah, I'm good with it. But it does speak to, like, what a real changeover. I mean, the fact that the longest tenured guys are from the 2020 draft and all of your leadership, which I'm not saying was strong leadership, it was just the guys that were in those positions, are all now gone.
Yeah, so it's twofold to me. I don't care that really any of these guys are outside of Andrews, which I thought was awkward. I don't care who your long snapper is. I never cared about Joe Cardona. I don't care now. You know, great service to the country, and we respect all of
that.
But as a player, I never cared who your long snapper was. Never, not once. And it's stupid to draft a long snapper when they drafted him. It's stupid that they drafted one now. Ashby, the kid they drafted in the seventh round, is dumb to draft a long snapper.
Although it's better than the fifth round, which is where I think they got Cardona.
It is better. That's better. So, like, I don't care they moved on from these guys. But it's clear Vrabel is making a decided effort to move away from the leadership of last year. And it's also clear they're scapegoating the decision makers a year ago, Mayo included, maybe even Wolf to a degree, as you suggested. He's the one who re-signed all these guys. They're making a concerted effort to do some scapegoating, some blame there as well.
Yeah.
On top of just getting the players out of the room.
But if you go back to last year, they basically thought that Bill Belichick and Mac Jones were the only problems because they got rid of Mac Jones, they got rid of Bill Belichick, and they're like, we're going to be so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And they won the exact same number of games.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, they're saying, all right, we're getting rid of the head coach, we're going to get rid of both coordinators, and we're going to get rid of a bunch of players. And like all the guys that have been here for a while, we're going to move on from that. So this is way more of a Band-Aid ripoff than even it was after removing Bill Belichick, the guy who was here for over two decades. This is more of a look around the locker room and be like, wow, there are a ton of new faces in here.
So we just mentioned Peppers. I'm a little skeptical why he's still here and they drafted a safety, so maybe his days are numbered. Do you think they're done? You think they're done removing leadership from a year ago? Because you heard this drumbeat.
No.
You heard this drumbeat early in the offseason, Keith. Curran told us. Curran gives a bunch of names early in the offseason. We're like, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, Duggar and Ramondre were two of the ones that Curran mentioned.
So you started to hear this drumbeat early in the offseason from a lot of the beat writers. Specifically on our show, we heard it from Curran. But you'd hear this elsewhere, too. Vrabel's coming in. Guys who were leaders last year on the team maybe were too comfortable, and they want to get those guys out. And they're doing that. You don't think they're done? Who do you think is on the chopping block?
So
his name too.
I wonder if it's going to be more of one of those, like, let's get into camp and we'll let it play out. And these guys might not be guaranteed. Like Kendrick Bourne. Like, I don't think Kendrick Bourne's spot is a lock. I think the fact that he was good with Josh McDaniels in 2021 helps. But they just brought in two veteran receivers and a third round pick. Plus, they have all these young guys. So it might be a numbers game. But that's a guy that seems like a pretty good teammate and is an NFL veteran. But he certainly could be gone. I kept waiting for Jelani Tavai to be gone. Maybe there's like, we're going to keep him, and then we think there's good value there. But after what he said at the end of last year, like, get rid of that guy.
Well, hang on. So the guys were questioned. So this is interesting now that you bring it up, because Nick said it first about
Tavai?
It was about Peppers. I'm sorry.
Peppers.
The guys that are all here that were kind of questioning why are they still here, they all got contracts last year. So maybe ownership is stepping in on some of these.
Yeah.
But if Vrabel had his way, would Ramondre be out? If Vrabel had his way, would Duggar and Peppers be out?
Seems like it.
Tavai's another one who's still owed money. So is ownership impeding that. Because
we didn't mention Godchow is another one. Godchow was on the team for he wasn't on the team for a really long time, but another kind of veteran guy on the team they got rid of.
Refresh my memory. What they gave him a deal, but did they give him a long term deal, or did they give him like a year?
Probably funny money.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe Godchow flies in the face of that. Did they pay Bentley? Was Bentley part of the group they paid? And now they've moved on from him. I'm trying to remember. Mm. But some of the guys they handed money out to are still here, and so maybe if Vrabel really was able to do whatever he wants, which no coach or GM can do. You got to deal with an owner. If they really could do whatever they wanted, there'd be more names out of here, but maybe ownership is impeding on some of the guys they just paid who have guaranteed money still coming their way.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, really the only guy, right, that got re-signed was Austin Hooper. Like, all the guys that were on the team. That was one of the first moves of the offseason. Because you're looking at just, like, projected starting lineups, and, I mean, it's over 50% turnover. Right, like on offense, obviously you're gonna have Drake May. We'll see what happens with Ramondre, the tight end, and Onwenu. So it's basically 4 out of 11 spots on offense are gonna be inherited guys. We'll see how the wideouts shake out, but I mean, there's a good chance it's, if healthy, Diggs, Hollins, and Williams on front of that. And then defensively, it's Barmore, Gonzalez, and for now the safeties, Duggar and Peppers. But that's another one where you might have 7 different starters. I mean, you might have, out of the 22 quote-unquote starters, there might be 14 new guys.
It's a team that needed it.
Yeah.
By the way, just to mix this in quickly, for their offseason, the Patriots, according to Yahoo Sports, had the best offseason, free agency and draft combined.
Okay.
Number one in the NFL. They wrote, the Patriots had a bunch of holes and went to work.
True. They went to work.
It's a Friday night. The defense got a handful of new high-priced starters in free agency. The offense got juiced with offensive tackle Will Campbell, Travion Henderson, and Kyle Williams in the draft. Steph Diggs was added in free agency. The New England Patriots remade their roster A.
They did.
So there you go. Best offseason, according to Yahoo. Vrabel has come in and changed things around, remade it in his image as much as he's allowed to. So how do you feel about the leadership change in New England? You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. Pure Hoops with Terp at High Noon. Justin Turpin from WEEI.com in the building last night. We'll get his thoughts on the Celtics advancing to round 2. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, let's do some Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday.